I'm not coming back for 30%. I'm coming back for everything.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
Scarface on repeat. Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all.
Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
Now, some people are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me.
She doesn't even go here. They knew, and they let it happen.
Oh, and in case I don't see you.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
94.9 Radio Western. You are tuned in to Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. I'm Elijah.
And I'm Mike.
And again, we are Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. We talk about film and the culture that surrounds it. And it's just the two of us. We can
just
make it if we try. We can really
can
make
it if we try. It is just the two of us. He who shall not be named is not here anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to get a lawsuit.
If you do want to come see that person and us, what's happening?
Oh, boy.
A week today, Elijah.
A week today. On the 21st of October, it is the second edition of Movie Trivia Night at the Holy Diver, sponsored by the Highland Cinema, and it is hosted—
Radio Western.
And Radio Western, yeah. Of course, and also hosted by Radio Western's own—
Outside the frame. Yeah.
Plus he who should not be named.
That's right. there will be three of us there.
There will be three of us hosting. Yeah, yeah. And this one in particular is a themed edition. And of course, because it's October, it is all horror movie themed. Every single category.
I will
category.
Say we are going to, this one is going to be taken up a little in terms of, I think, generally, we felt there was a lot of people that got, you know, the first trivia night, you know, we had a lot of people get in and around the same score, and quite high actually, so we thought we need to space it out a little bit, right? We need to find out who the real cinephiles are, right?
We do, and we need to separate, you know, to say an outdated term, we need to separate the boys from the men.
Yeah.
All right? We need to see who is really a true movie fan,
yeah,
and who just watches movies every so often.
Now, that shouldn't deter you. You should come out 100%. And play on a team. That's really important. I think a good team is important because you might not know everything about, you know, a certain genre or a subgenre, but you might know a couple of questions, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing is helpful when you're like, that's why a team is important for trivia, I think.
Because, 100%.
You know, and of course, I will say this, I was going through some of the prizes yesterday on my day off, and there's going to be some banger prizes. I almost swore there. Yeah, there's gonna be some awesome prizes, so
yeah, as there always is. We are stepping up our game that way as well, and you know what, like you were saying earlier, even if you haven't seen the deep cuts, that's okay, because there's gonna be questions about the more mainstream horror movies, more recent horror movies, as well as the deep cuts as well. You know,
kind of a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
It's not just gonna be old stuff. It's not just gonna be slashers. It's not just gonna be, you know, we're gonna have a pretty wide range of films to talk about and questions about. So yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun though.
Yeah,
it's gonna be so much fun.
I'm really looking forward to it. We were going over it today, so I'm excited for it.
Someone snuck into this office, dude.
Yeah, someone did. I can hear them. I can hear their their laughter.
Slight chuckle.
Their slight chuckle. Of course, we're joined today by Dalton.
Hello.
Dalton Pike, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I didn't even think we were getting you until like the latter half of this episode.
Yeah,
so.
Well, because
I left a little earlier, but yeah.
When I heard from him, he was like, I'm on a bus. I don't know where I'm going. And
yeah,
I was like,
the front entrance is closed, so they brought me like all the way around. I'm like, I might be going somewhere completely different, so I don't know.
It is a crapshoot whenever you hop on a bus here. They could drop you off. One day there's a strike. The other day they've just shut down for like construction.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just, and it'll drop you at a completely random spot that they won't tell you about beforehand.
Yep, so. The signs weren't working, so it wouldn't tell you what the next stop was either. So I'm like, I'll get there eventually, you know.
Shout out to the LTC. Gotta love them.
The best.
If you do want to take part in the conversation today, please text us, 519-661-3600. That is 519-661-3600. Once again, I guess this is, I've said it enough times already, but just to remind people once again, we are on streaming now. So this is the live show that you are hearing right now on the Tuesday, but on Wednesday we upload the episode. So we are on streaming wherever you get your podcast from. And I think
that's fun.
That is a lot of fun. Yeah. It's fun watching the analytics of it all to see like which ones are really popping off, the interest, like the interest that people are really tuned into. Also, where people are tuning in from. We have listeners in Spain.
That's awesome.
That's
crazy. That's awesome. Shout out to the listeners in Spain who are just
who's
tuning in.
Who's finding that?
That's what I'm saying. And on a consistent basis too. It's kind of wild, but you know.
How's your Spanish?
My Spanish? Yeah. Muy bien.
There you go.
Muy bien. Sí. Yeah. I'm glad that we started off with the horror movie trivia, because today's discussion and today's episode is going to be entirely about horror films.
Yeah.
In particular, and I'm glad that you're both here because now you can both help me out with this one. I know about the movies, but in particular, you both work at Highland.
Yeah, we do.
You both work at Highland Cinema, located here.
Sometimes, yeah.
And so today's episode is about something that you guys have been doing for a long time now.
5 years. This is our fifth anniversary.
Yeah. And you do space these movies out sporadically throughout the year, but in particular, the month of October is the real
it's a special
traditional
time.
We go nuts.
Horror at the Highland.
Yes.
And you guys go all out for Horror at the Highland during October.
That's right.
So today is the showcase. We're about halfway through the month, so we've already you've already screened a lot of movies, a lot of horror classics, but
I figured
why not still, we still have so many good movies to get through.
Yeah, there's a bunch, and you did a good job setting it up. Yeah, I mean, the Horror at the Highland is, you know, we started in 2021 when I first started working at the Highland, and actually spawned from COVID, as a lot of actually good things came out of COVID, I think. And one of them was trying to tap into a different market for the Highland. Not that they didn't do horror movies, but I mean, like, on a regular basis, right? So the owner asked me if there was any interest in doing something in October. We were just looking for something to, you know, bring people in. And this is October of 2021. So I said, sure. And I put together a little program that was like, it was your, you know, hey, what's out there? Like, what do people like, you know? And, you know, I had some ideas as to sort of the London audience, but I was like, okay, let's try it. They had never done something like that at the Highland in terms of like a whole month of a series. So yeah, we did like Nightmare on Elm Street 1. We did Friday the 13th. We did Carrie. We did Get Out. We did Misery. Kind of something, and Dracula, I think, was in there. Something kind of, you know, 90s, 70s, you know, 80s. Newer, we did Get Out, we did newer stuff, and it's interesting that even that was like a tiny snapshot as to kind of what would then also do well at the Highland. Like,
that's right.
And it's, you know, it changes in the sense of once you've, you know, built that audience and stuff, you can sell people on, you know, we did last year in February, we did It Follows, which is a relatively new movie, and it did quite well. Like, if we tried that in you know, in 2021 or 2022, it would have not been intended well. So,
that's right.
Anyway, so since it, relative to the time that we did it in October, it went quite well. So then the owner was like, hey, what can we do it as a monthly series? So aside from Retromania, which was actually one of the trivia questions last week at Trivia, what was the longest running series at the Highland? It was Retromania. It's been running for almost since the owner took it over in 2004. I think it was, I don't know, mid to late 2000s when it started, about 15-ish years, which is pretty crazy. Always the last Friday of every month. That was the kind of thing. So what the Horror at the Highland was the second Friday of every month. So that's what we've done. Aside from, as you pointed out, in October, it was every Friday. We're going to do a horror movie every Friday. And we've been playing
some additional days as well, not just Fridays.
Right. It started with just Fridays. And then over the last, I would say, 2 years specifically, it was, well, Terrifier 2's coming out and, you know, Maxine's coming out and, you know, all these other films are coming out. So we started adding in, you know, like kids shows. And we did a silent movie event last year. We just did Phantom of the Opera this past weekend, the 1925 version. So we're just adding, we kind of supplement those Friday nights with other cool things, other cool horror things. And so it's a really interesting October. October is a really interesting time for us. Mm-hmm. It's always fun to program. We were talking about it on the weekend when Dalton was working on Saturday. So we were talking about it. And then Rain and I, another employee at the Highland who helps program, we're talking about October of next year.
Amazing.
So
just
so
like this one, we started basically as soon as the first show in October happened last year.
Yes, we were.
We're like, what are we doing next year?
What are we doing next year?
Wow. Yeah. So it's the one that we work on probably the most throughout the year.
Because it does dictate, and Rain actually pointed this out, I think it was Rain that pointed this out, that, you know, we have to, because we program, you know, now we're doing, if there's five Fridays and we do two horror films on them, that's 10 films.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right? So that's almost as many horror films we play all year.
Yeah, just that was Rain.
Rain pointed this out. Because we've kind of, like I said, like in terms of the way that we've scheduled things, we've traditionally just done one horror film on the Fridays and then kind of spaced everything else out. This year we're trying a slightly different approach of having a primetime show like at 7 or 7:30 and then a later night show like at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. So and actually doing two horror films and just focusing on the Fridays, still supplementing the other with a few other shows here and there, but not as spread out as it was the last couple of years. So and so far it's working pretty well.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you guys have done a really good job at, especially at the pairings that I noticed. So when you officially released the schedule, you had kind of like given me a sneak peek a little bit earlier on, but I didn't know exactly which ones were going to be back to back.
Yeah.
And a lot of these ones that are back to back, you've done a very careful and a very careful job at programming, and a meticulous job, I'd say, because you know what's going to pair well together.
We try.
I mean, that's your job. I know it is your job, and you guys obviously do it well. But I just wanted you both to know that, like, the programming is done. It shows that there was care and thought put into it.
100%. And I mean, Rain's not here. Maybe they should be on this on this episode. But Rain's a huge part of this process as well. But you know. We tried this year, at least with the pairings. It's interesting you bring that up because aside from the very obvious double feature of Evil Dead 1 and 2, which is how we opened it, we were very specific in how we were thinking of the pairings, which was actually not to be double features. So
they could be.
They could be.
But they're not designed to be like, hey, come see this double feature. It's come see the movie you want to see.
Correct. Gotcha. So, like, yes, Evil Dead 1 and 2 is an obvious one. But, like, for example, and we didn't want to be beheld to a showtime either. And we'll get into when things are playing and what. But, like, The Exorcist and Rocky Horror, for example, that Friday night is scheduled differently than this coming Friday night.
That's right.
And again, like, Exorcist and Rocky Horror have nothing to do with each other. At all. Like, in terms of a double, it's going to hit two different audiences. There might be, I guess, some crazy people that'll do both films, but really, like, they're designed to hit two different audiences, right?
For sure.
Obviously, you know, and maybe this is a good segue into our first Friday, which is coming up, actually, on the 17th. Is Carrie and Suspiria. Mm-hmm. Now, this on the outside may not look like a good double feature or may not look like they pair together, but they actually pair really well with each other, Carrie and Suspiria. But again, Carrie, from a film standpoint, hits a little bit more of a populous audience. Mm-hmm. It's much more well known. And you can see if you start looking at the way we program things, you start looking at, again, maybe aside from Evil Dead 1 and 2, but if you start looking at, you know, Poltergeist was the first show, Carrie's the first show, right? Exorcist, Halloween. Like, these are very well-known movies that are at the primetime spots, right? And maybe I'm giving away too many program secrets, but this is the way we thought about things.
It's very smart to do it where you're almost like luring in the audience.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, and by the way, if you still want to stick around,
here's something really rad.
And to go off of that, I think that that's a good, like you mentioned, that's a good segue to get into this. Mm-hmm. So this coming Friday, the first movies that we're going to talk about that are going back to back. We'll start with the first one, which is Carrie.
Yeah. Original.
Yes. The original.
Yes.
Yeah, not Chloe Grace Moretz. No, we're talking Sissy Spacek.
Or the TV movie in the early 2000s. There was
that is right. Yeah, I keep forgetting that exists.
I feel like there's another one hanging around, too.
There's one coming out.
There's another one coming out?
It's a show, Flanagan.
Man. Yeah. I like him sometimes, but some okay.
I like when he doesn't do horror. Like Life of Chuck was
Life of Chuck was good.
Was good.
Yeah.
But Carrie,
directed by Brian De Palma, one of the masters of suspense thrillers. Mm-hmm. This movie came out in 76, which the 70s. We're going to talk about the 70s a lot, actually, primarily for the rest of, like, for the entire episode. Yeah, I've got my notes and everything. Yeah. So when I was putting it together, I started realizing, like, oh, wow.
A lot of
70s.
But it's interesting you bring that up because, again, programming wise, that's something that we do pay attention to is like, okay, are we going to hit certain eras or whatever? And then, you know, at one point, I think I can't remember. I think it was we were in a program meeting or something. I was just like, you know what? We got to just throw that away. Like we just do we really think people want to see that they want to come out to? And sometimes they're just going to be films from the 70s or from the 80s or whatever, right?
I think last year, you know, we did a good job at doing that.
We did. It was much more focused to like make sure that it has that balance.
And then this year we found ourselves kind of like pigeonholing ourselves, you know, like really having that influence what we were putting in there, and then we just started talking about, like, well, what are the movies that, and then, like, let's see if we can make that work, but that's not a top priority, right?
Right.
And it's interesting, too, that you bring that up, because the first four films we did were all in the 80s.
That's right.
So.
Yeah.
It just so happens that back half of this ended up almost entirely being 70s.
And that's just the way, like, again, that wasn't, like, super conscious as to, like, oh, we're doing these from the 70s, these from the 80s. It was more about the titles and if they fit together and
the quality of the
quality. If what again, the most important thing is right time, right movie. That's it.
Right.
Any meeting I've ever people ask me about programming, whatever, it comes down to right movie, right time, right time, right movie. Right. So, you know, that it's really important in October that we do that. And so far, I think it's been working. Mm-hmm. So I think this pairing, Carrie into Suspiria, I think is the right pairing, the two right movies. So
why did you want to start off with Carrie? Like I know obviously it's a classic, but from a programming standpoint, like just let's just talk about the movie. Like why did you feel like this would be one of the good ones for?
Well, it started with the other thing, as you can tell, like there's all these variables that we think about, or I think about, and then I bring it up and I force Rain and Dalton to think about. But so Carrie was one of the original Horror at the Highland films from the first one that we did. So I kind of wanted to also have a little bit of overlap as to through if you look through the years of the Horror at the Highlands, not just in October, but through the years, you'll notice that there's a bunch of ones that we've played before or even multiple times. So Evil Dead 1 and 2, for example, Carrie is from the first one. Exorcist we've played a bunch of times. Halloween we've played. So I kind of wanted to like highlight some of the like really special films that we've done like through the years, but then also again pair them so that they feel new. So you know we've done Evil Dead 1 and 2. I've said like literally in London we could play Evil Dead 1, 2 or Army of Darkness, any one of those three, like every weekend, and it would do great. but we had never done Evil Dead 1 and 2 back to back, so it kind of feels new almost.
And we did Army of Darkness this year,
and we just did Army of
it
Darkness.
It just felt right.
So when it came to Carrie, it was that the one thing that I thought of, I was like, okay, well, you know, we've just did Nightmare on Elm Street not that long ago, because there was the anniversary last year, I think. Friday the 13th we did already this year because it was an 80 was an anniversary, so we did that film. We have plans for Misery in December, so we're not going to do that. There was talk of Dracula. That was in there for a little while in the mix, for sure. And then
Bram Stoker's?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and we weren't gonna do Get Out, unfortunately, only because not because the quality of the movie, just because no one came when we did it.
Yeah.
So
fair
that. So in October we can't take that big of risk.
Right,
like, we really have to know if there's gonna be an audience there. So yeah, I was worried about it because like yeah, the first even though it was a while ago. You know, it may do okay, but I can't take. We can't be taking those risks.
Yeah, there's no guarantee. Yeah. There.
And it's very. No. It's quite new. So well, we just felt that we've talked about it. Dalton, Rain, and I have, in our own ways, have said this. Like, we know that we know where the people want to be in terms
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
I mean, Dalton's not even that big of a horror fan, like compared to myself
really?
And Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not really.
Okay.
But that's great. I told this to him in like. I mean, when we were just chatting, but I mean, the programming for this October doesn't get where it's at without Dalton because right. he was the one that like when I laid it out, he was like, nah, I don't know, man.
I believe I believe the word was uninspired.
Uninspired.
Yes.
But he's using my own words against me.
I threw it back at him.
And it was similar, like I'm not saying like we totally revamped the lineup, but it was the way we were thinking about it, and the way that it just got me to think, okay, well, how can we make it inspired, right?
And,
that's
where
we
got
the two films, yeah. right? And then I had to obviously convince the owner that it was the right decision to make, so I had to go in and look at all the numbers and see, like, okay, if we paired two films together, can that do better than one film that we've done the last 4 years? Plus, we're taking away from a primetime spot on a Friday, so what did primetime spots do on a Friday in October? Like, were films doing 50, 60 people? Like, then there's no way to justify that. But so it was like, okay, well, actually, this might actually work really well. You know?
Can I just add that once we figured out the two movies,
yes, then it became
it got way more exciting for
way
us.
More exciting.
Like, it's starting to pair things, starting to see what was exciting.
Move the chess piece. So then it was about, remember what I said, right movie, right time.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a movie that kind of looks boring on its own or kind of not in the right Friday or whatever, all of a sudden paired together with something or on the correct Friday looks really awesome.
Yeah. Right? Because it's framed differently, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And movies that are a little bit more of a risk, when you put it with something else, it's like, oh, it looks right now, and I think people will take a chance on this where it's at.
For sure.
So getting to the pairing of Carrie to Carrie and Suspiria, this is almost directly influenced by the time that when we opened Poor Things, there was a kind of a viral thing going around, and I kind of joked about it and then never thought about it again. But Rain actually brought it up, and our owner kind of jumped on it, was to do Frankenhooker next to Poor Things. There was like kind of a viral thing, kind of like sort of a side-by-side thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously both myself and Rain were huge fans of the movie. We were just like a little apprehensive to like pitch that for obvious reasons, I think, if you know the movie. And So we did it one night only on a Friday, and we had a lot of people check out the movie because Poor Things did so well.
Right.
So it was like, okay, can we use that same strategy of like something that's more populous and more like you know, something for the mainstream audience, and then can we get runoff from that mainstream audience to check out something a little bit more, you know, left of center,
right?
You know, and so that's what Suspiria is to carry.
Yes,
right?
I was gonna say, because on paper, Suspiria, a film made by an Italian man, for all intents and purposes, an international horror film.
100%. Sure.
Set
absolutely.
In Germany, made by an Italian. it starred obviously the main. Star is American, which obviously probably in the 70s connected it to the American audience.
Yep.
But I mean, on paper, and sending this back, not only that, but also because there is a newer version, a much flashier version by a bigger name, Luca Guadagnino.
It's not flashy. It's too long.
But it is flashy in the filmmaking, yes. I mean.
And the cast, too.
And in the cast with Dakota Johnson as well. Also, Chloe Grace Moretz, who we just mentioned.
Yep.
She's haunting our...
yeah.
Really, though. Yeah.
She's in the remake of both of these movies.
Yes,
that's right. That's right. And so, 100%, by the way.
Yeah.
This movie, Suspiria, is about, what, an hour 40, the 77, 2.5 hours
no, what
for
doing?
The remake.
What are you doing?
I do enjoy the new movie, but as Mike says, it's too long, dude.
It's too long, dude.
It's too long, dude.
Yeah.
Way too long.
Well, now, I mean, we'll point out that they tried to do kind of like the Argento trilogy.
Yeah,
kind of.
He tried to cram a lot into one.
What? Don't do that. You know, like don't do that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's fine if you want to. Like, it could. You could update this movie. It's not like a movie that, like, you know, I don't think screams for a remake. But there is a way
it's
that
possible.
You could.
It's
definitely
possible.
Yeah.
And there are some very successful things in the remake.
Yeah,
but. They do try to expand on certain elements. I don't want to give too much away from Suspiria. It
doesn't need lore, though.
It doesn't need the lore. Yeah. The whole point of why this one sticks so well is because, oh, this is happening. This is actually not what it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then it's revealed. Oh, this is what it is. Yeah. Let's get to it.
And I mean, like, I think visually the remake is interesting, but there's just something about the way that I actually was talking to one of the customers today. That came into the Highland, and he was saying he had a friend or his brother or something watch Suspiria, but they watched the DVD version, and it was like a really bad transfer. And if you get if you haven't seen this movie, come see it obviously on the big screen. It's going to look fantastic. Okay, it's going to look unbelievable and sound unbelievable. But if you get a kind of a crappy transfer, or you can't see the colors of this film.
Oh, really?
And really with Argento in general.
Or bad audio.
Like,
that movie sounds amazing.
I mean, if you don't get the, no pun intended, if you don't get the deep reds, right?
Yeah.
and the color palette of this film, and really any of, or most of Argento's like 70s work, it's just, it's going to not hit the way that it should hit.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because the use of color and the use of lighting mixed with color in this is not only integral to the movie and the visual storytelling of it all, but it's just gorgeous to look at, too.
Really is.
There's also, like, this really, I feel in Suspiria, I just rewatched it over the weekend, and I feel like Argento has this really good knack for doing close-up on, like, body parts.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And it just,
that's like his favorite thing.
That's his favorite thing.
And like showing that on the big screen
will pay off
in the most unnerving way.
What kind of body parts?
The one I'm thinking of in Suspiria is a heart. In Deep Red, obviously.
We're not on Twitch, are we?
We're not on Twitch. Yeah, camera, boom, boom.
Have some explaining to do.
It was just a close-up on you.
Yeah. Eyes, obviously.
Putting on eyeliner. Yeah, and, like, just a...
Even hands. He's a big,
hands guy. Yeah.
I've seen Suspiria on the big... at the Highland, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's a world of difference. It really is.
Yeah.
With a crowd, too. Amazing. Yeah.
And it's a different kind of storytelling, too. You have to remember, like, contextually... this movie came out in the 70s, 77, and, you know, the horror genre, the way that we look at the horror genre today, that kind of horror film is literally in its infancy.
Yeah.
Right? So you have, I mean, this is 3 years out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre coming out, and, you know, Halloween hasn't even come out yet.
That's right.
And you know what I mean? So this idea of what the sort of where modern horror films are going to go isn't quite built yet. They're building it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you add in, you know, I guess the Hollywood aspect of it. It's not really told, or it doesn't really feel like a Hollywood movie, because it's not.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the way that it's acted, the way that it sounds, the color palette, the story, all of these things feel kind of like off, because we as an audience are so conditioned to be like, especially in the horror genre, it's going to be this and this and this and this, right? And even when it goes that is played with, example would be like Evil Dead 2, for example, is like one of the most creative films like ever made. It still has like this air of like, I don't want to say Hollywood, because it's not a Hollywood movie, but it has that that because
it's still a very American movie.
It's still American, yes. Is a better way of putting it, because those guys are American and they were influenced by Hollywood movies. So
that's right.
But this is just, it just feels different. The whole vibe of it is different. And if that doesn't like jive with you, if you don't like match up with it, it can be a very like odd experience to see a movie.
Yeah.
Like that, if you're not kind of right. Because even like Luca's version is still very Hollywood, even though it's like weird
and
messed up.
It is
up,
also, you know, quite off-putting to most people.
It is very off-putting. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Which one? Both or?
Well, both for sure.
Guadagnino.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
It's still,
but it's
like,
intentional.
It's
like,
it's a twisted movie and stuff. But it's still, I mean, you're looking at, you know, oh, there's the girl from 50 Shades of Grey in the
movie.
And there's like Chloe Grace Moretz and there's Tilda Swinton. And
I actually
think
it works better in this movie, in the original's favor, that you might not know a lot of the actors
in this
movie.
You probably know any of them.
Yeah, exactly, right? So
maybe Jessica Harper.
Maybe Jessica Harper. Yeah, yeah. That's the only one I can think of personally. But it helps that you don't really know a lot of these people. Helps you suspend your disbelief a little bit.
It just feels like you're in a different place watching something totally different.
In a different world, and especially with a supernatural twist to it, that kind of pays off in the long run.
Yeah.
Break time, because you mentioned that there's something about the way that this movie is crafted, and I want to get in. And after the break, we'll get into a movie that I genuinely think is a perfectly crafted film.
Yeah.
So don't go anywhere. We're gonna cut to commercial break, but we will be right back with more of the Horror at the Highlands Showcase on Outside the Frame. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. .94.9 Radio Western. You are still tuned into Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. We're in the middle of our Horror at the Highlands Showcase with Mike and Dalton over here.
Yeah.
I mentioned before the break that we're about to talk about a movie that I think is perfectly, perfectly crafted. Let's get into it, because this one's a bit of a, like you mentioned, this one's a bit of a variation from the back-to-back that we just talked about with Suspiria and Carrie. This one is a movie we've talked about here before. It's The Exorcist.
It's pretty good, you know? It's a pretty good movie.
It's all right.
I just want to say, you mentioned earlier, I'm not a very big horror fan.
Right.
But I will say that The Exorcist is one of my favorite movies of all time.
100%.
Because it's more than just a horror movie.
Yeah. And
it's got so much going on.
I think that's why it has, or one of the reasons anyways that it has stood the test of time is because you don't need to be a horror fan to enjoy this movie. You can connect with whether it be the themes or just looking at it and looking at the storytelling of it, looking at the sound editing, the makeup,
just the craziness,
There's
the like possession films.
Oh.
I mean, essentially they had to like just regress.
I
mean, in terms of like content and stuff, like The Conjuring, for example. The Conjuring is like essentially a G-rated movie. I mean, it's like PG, but like, because like
it's
there's loud noises
cute.
And stuff, but like that's, it's essentially because they like The Exorcist was like, yeah, we're gonna go all the way over here.
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch of movies that tried to follow and tried to like push the inside of that subgenre, inside of the specifically sort of demon possession.
Right.
It's its own fully
of course
like cooked subgenre that there's all movies come out every year.
But
you
The
know.
Exorcist really set the standard. Like, it set the bar so high.
It's so high because of it's so outrageous. Like, you really can't believe some of the stuff that is done or said in this movie. And yes, the special effects aren't, you know, the audience is used to seeing, because it's practical.
But they hold up very well, actually.
They actually do,
But, like, it's really about the content. It's wild, some of the stuff that is done and said in this movie. And then you start reading about the lore behind everything, and it's, you know, the Friedkin of it all, who's, you know, one of the great American filmmakers.
One of the great maniacs of all time.
Absolute maniacs, shooting guns off, like slapping actors.
Almost killing his entire cast.
I just listened to his, not that long ago, just listened to his autobiography that was read by him. And, you know, the best, it's unbelievable.
That sounds incredible.
It's so good. And I just, there's one part where he just goes, you know, I've only done this method twice in my life. Right. And then he goes on to explain what the method was. And it was literally like hauling off and like hitting an actor on purpose without telling them.
Oh, my
God. Like hitting them. And I'm like,
damn, dude,
what do you mean Like, as if only,
only twice?
Yes. How about, like, no time?
Two times. How about you don't assault people?
So, I mean, this is a pretty well-known story, but the scene where the priest is giving the guy the last rites at the bottom of the stairs, he's like, you know, he has this, like, shaky, like, it's a really great performance, a great shot. Well, I mean, that guy is, like, literally just a priest in real life, like, not an actor. It's 3 a.m. They're rolling like 14, 15 takes. The guy just can't do it. And he's like, Billy, I can't, you know, I can't do it. And so this was his method. And he said he used it one other time on another film was he said the guy's name. And he said, do you trust me? So I'd be like, Elijah, do you trust me? And then you'd answer yes.
Yes.
Do you love me? You'd answer yes. And then without any like at all, like you don't know what's going to happen. I will slap you as hard as I can in the face. And he had, and so that's what he did to the, and this is an old man. This is or I mean, old man as in, like, he's probably 60s, probably. 50s, 60s, maybe? I don't know. He's an old, he's not also not an actor.
It's the younger guy, isn't it?
Isn't it the younger guy? Okay. It doesn't matter. He's not an actor. That's what I do know. And hits him in the face, and he had this signal to his camera guy, his DP, that so he already gave him the signal to start running, to start rolling. So, like, they were rolling already by the time he had done that. And then he shut and then said, action. So that,
and
so
it
when,
worked.
So when you see him, he's like, because he's literally
he's
was
in
like,
shock.
He's literally in shock from, and I mean, there's stories of him shooting off guns, you know, before takes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff that he did to the lead actress, you know, she had to, she had permanent, like, you know, back injuries from that, from some of the, yeah, from some
from
of
like
the,
shaking, like the violent,
being blown back. That
oh yeah,
that one.
Do, yeah,
they were being very gentle. So she said, you know, hey, you know, I can only do this one more time. Can you, you know, not go so hard? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And he turned to the stunt guy and he said, I want you to pull as hard as you mother can. And I want her to hit that and just gave it to her. And so then they rolled it. And, yeah, they had to stop shooting for, like, 3 weeks. And, you know, she was in the hospital and had, like literally, like, back issues for the rest of her life because of that. But they got the shot, and that's the
that's
shot
the
in the
thing,
movie.
Right? Sometimes, so. Sometimes it just takes a certifiably insane person.
I mean, the whole thing about the ending, too. Like, they couldn't – there was no CG breath, so they literally had –
just froze the room.
Like, froze the room with air conditioners, mm-hmm. and then they
– she's just in a nightgown.
So everyone's freezing cold, you know, getting sick. The set burns down at one point, like that set.
Mm-hmm.
Has he had film set that has not been destroyed?
I don't know.
that'd be a great question.
The weird thing, too, and, like, I never understood this until, actually, no, I would say recently, but, you know, maybe in the last 10 years, but, like, Max von Sydow.
Sydow, yeah.
That is makeup that is making him look that old. He's actually quite young.
Yeah.
But then you just know him as like an old guy. Yeah. So you just think, oh, there he is. He just always looked like that.
He looks the same in The Force Awakens as he does in The Exorcist.
Right.
Exactly. Literally exactly the same. And I just always thought that he was like about 73.
Like he was like, it was like the Morgan Freeman thing. You've just always been old. Like you always looked old.
Yeah. And but no, that's actually makeup. So he had to get in all this makeup for like the whole. And I mean, it was one of the most insane film shoots of all time. And it's based on this, based on the book. And the same guy that wrote the book, William Peter Blatty, also wrote the screenplay. You know, it's then it goes on.
He directed one of the later ones.
He did. Yeah. Yeah.
Which one did he end up directing?
I think the third one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the third one.
It is a good one.
That's a good one.
Sneaky good.
Yeah.
So it then goes on and becomes this huge phenomenon.
Yes.
And makes all this money. People are passing out. People think it's actually haunted and like demonic, like the movie itself. The prints themselves, they actually think the prints themselves have demons in them. Mm-hmm. I mean, because remember, this is the 70s, right?
A lot more religious people around that time. Yeah, so this really played into the fears that that society,
but then
like,
it
larger
just makes a ton of money. Is nominated.
Get some Oscars, yeah.
Well, yeah, ten Oscars. It
that's
it, like,
so crazy.
Like nominated for like 10 Oscars.
But still, the fact
that's,
that like
that's
horror
so
movies,
awesome.
Horror movies were just not being nominated for Oscars back, or at least very rarely.
Not as not. I mean, they still aren't.
They
really,
still aren't.
True.
But it's just.
But
never
for 10?
Yeah.
Like 10 back then is an insane number.
I mean, you have the Linda Blair of it all, which is another interesting kind of fact or lore, I guess, is there was another actress that was up for this part who was. It was much more nepotism going on. Janet Leigh's kid. Was going to be in this movie, and
whatever happened to her?
She's in another movie we're going to talk about soon. Right.
So I thought that would be a nice little like into that. But Jamie Lee Curtis? So Janet Leigh gets the call because you know obviously Jamie is young, like 13. Like this is 71, 72. So mm-hmm. she's not. You know, she's 12, 13 years old, whatever. Because of the subject matter, Janet Leigh was like, nah.
Yeah, no way.
No way.
I get it.
Yeah. Then, that's the right answer.
That, yeah. Parenting-wise, that yeah. is the right choice to make. Although, you know, career-wise.
Well, Linda Blair could attest to that.
That's a good
Linda
point.
Blair's career is an interesting one. Yeah. And we could
her life is interesting.
Interesting life. Deep dive on that. And I'd be more than happy to, though it's not
not for a PG
right. audience. But anyway, so what's interesting is the sliding doors there that Linda Blair gets the role. Obviously, she doesn't really ever get that. That famous ever again in terms of like the movies themselves, like in a big blockbuster like that. Jamie Leigh waits, you know, the 5, 6, 7 years until she's in Halloween and totally like reinvents the final, like what the final girl is and how important, slashers are, and kind of creates that genre with John Carpenter. Mm-hmm. And that sliding doors is so interesting. Like if she's in Exorcist, there's no way she's in. There's no way she's
right.
in Halloween.
Yeah.
She's in Halloween because obviously, yes, she's a name, like as in like, you know, her parents were in
right.
it, but she'd never like really acted before. Like she, like it was low budget. Like the film is low budget. Right. So, you know, if you're in Exorcist, you know, 5, 6 years later, you're not making a movie with, you know, on $100,000 budget or $150,000, I think it was. You're just not doing that. So,
yeah, would have completely yeah. changed the trajectory of her career.
And then Halloween is totally different.
Exactly.
Right? So, and then the whole genre is totally different, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting sliding doors, which then leads us
well,
into...
Well, before we do that, because we haven't... Did we miss one? I missed, like, labeled them on my notes anyway, because yeah. we do have one that plays before that one.
It's a Rocky Horror, right?
Yeah, 50, it's the Rocky Horror.
50th anniversary
before
of Rocky,
we do that, though,
Rocky Horror.
I do want to say that I love the fact that The Exorcist will always be cemented in our culture, not just because of the movie,
yes.
but because the picture of Linda Blair in makeup is the picture to use
for
when you're doing jump scares,
yeah.
when you're doing like the like the pop-ups.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Early internet.
Early internet was
terrifying.
I still see it. I still see it in pop-ups. It's awesome. It's kind of like jump scare pop-ups. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
1975 Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, we've talked about this movie maybe 4 times on this show already, so
yeah,
there's really not else. There's like, what else can we really say about
it's
it?
It's the 50th anniversary. Oh, by the way, The Exorcist will be screened on 35mm, and
yes.
it's sponsored by Film London, so that's interesting. The other thing I'll mention, too, just as a quick backtrack before we get into the last weekend, is Western connection to Carrie and Suspiria, which is this Friday on the 17th. Is Dr. Selma Pyrick's going to be joining us, joining me on stage. Really, it's going to be her. I'm just kind of lay up. I'm going to give her some questions,
right.
and then she's going to cook.
She's awesome.
She's one of our favorite guests at the Highland. She's unbelievable.
She's been there multiple times.
Multiple times,
I think I saw her for the Interview with a Vampire that she did a couple years ago.
She has such great insight.
Yeah. Unbelievable insight. She actually was there for another De Palma movie called Sisters during Cinema Speculation series a couple mm-hmm. years ago. So it's awesome that she's going to come back and be in between a De Palma and an Argento film. So so we're going to have like a 20-minute, 25-minute discussion slash, you know, we'll throw it out to the audience for some Q&A and stuff like that about, you know, Carrie and some of the stuff that we've been talking about, you know, thematically, you know, what makes these films interesting and it's sort of the staying power of both those films. So it's going to be really interesting. So that brings us, yes, to The Exorcist on 35 and then the Rocky Horror Picture Show on the Friday night, and I alluded to this before, is that we, up until that point, we've been kind of doing primetime 9:30s. Well, we're
shifting
a little curveball,
little curve, because we're gonna, The Exorcist is a 9 o'clock movie. It's always going to be a late night movie, so we're doing it at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to do a traditional midnight show of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So. You have to. I mean, that's just tradition. And like the one thing to say about this movie, as if it already hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
This is the best way to see this type of movie, and to see this movie in particular is to see it with a giant crowd.
Yep.
On the big screen, mm-hmm. at midnight,
without rice.
Without rice. Don't bring rice.
Do not bring rice.
But a lot of the other things we'll have for you in our Rocky Horror bags. And,
yes.
You
know, what does that include?
It includes tons of stuff. Newspaper. It includes like some poppers and stuff. Mm-hmm. What else do we have in there? I don't know. A bunch of the stuff for the cues.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Listed on the website. The Highland website, highlandcinema.com. I just say the website is efficient. One website. That's not the only time though. So if you're thinking, oh, well, I can't go on midnight. Well, that's okay. It's playing on Saturday, the following day at 6 o'clock, and then on Devil's Night on Thursday, October 30th at 9:30, I think. So, or 9 o'clock, something.
Big anniversary.
Big anniversary.
Fair enough.
There are some theaters that are doing it, like the, what is it,
full
Princess?
Week. Full
Princess
week.
Is doing a full week, like two shows a day.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's the
defining cult classic.
It is one of, yes. And it is a midnight, it's one of those, you know, it's like The Room in the sense of like the reason why the film is still around today is because of the midnight late show, like cult fan base.
It's so much fun to see it with a crowd, and you're all a little delirious because it's midnight. Mm-hmm. You know, your things are going crazy.
People are yelling stuff.
It's great. It's a chaotic time for a pretty chaotic movie.
Yeah, it's a really good time. Yeah.
But that leads us into Halloween. So we've already spoken a little bit about Halloween. But Halloween came out in 78. It's really hard to get away. I mean, we've been talking a lot about sort of strategy of programming and stuff, which is really interesting. And I'll talk about it in Dollywood too, like forever, is to like, because there's not, like, no one has a crystal ball, so no one really knows what's going to do well and not do well. So you're kind of just like, I like, based on these factors, I think it might do okay. Well, there's some factors with Halloween, i.e. the marketing of Halloween on Halloween. You just can't get away from.
Yeah,
hard to ignore.
Yeah, Halloween being on a Friday this year is...
And then you add that into it, right? Yeah. And it's like, well, it's really hard to get away from that. The little strategy we had, again, like speaking of the different times, we actually pivot again a little bit on there. My thought, and I could be wrong, and again, maybe this is too, no one finds this interesting, but like, what do people do on Halloween?
Like, they go trick-or-treating.
Right. So I felt like if we did like a true prime time, like 6:30 or 7, that's too early.
Right.
Right.
Because that's like, especially right now, that's when it starts to get dark. Like
right.
6:30.
So like if like there was, I don't know, I mean, I'm old, but and don't have any kids, but a lot of people my age have kids. And so if you had like, I don't know, a 5 or 10 year old, you're going to go out, you know, maybe before dinner, or just after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So if, and you do your round, maybe it's a half hour to get your trick or treating in with your kid. And then you can, so I'm like, well, I don't want to miss that audience.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
So, but we can't go too late because we have a lot of other things happening on Halloween, right? So I thought, okay, well, what if we just put it at 8 o'clock? And some people questioned, like, why is it at 8? And I'm like, well, this was my thought as to, like, I don't know if that's, maybe it would we'll just have done just as well at 7 than 8. But
better safe than sorry, you know?
Like, and then that leads into the follow, like, we'll talk more about Halloween, obviously, but it leads into the late night, which is House of a Thousand Corpses, which is kind of your traditional, like, sort of late night, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely more of a late night audience.
Greasy, grungy, right? And it kind of feels cool if it's at 10 o'clock, you know. And then again, you can hit the middle audience of, let's go see a movie. It's a nice tight movie in terms of runtime, right? All of these are.
Oh, yeah.
All of them are.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, in the 70s and 80s, they didn't make 2.5 hour horror movies. That's an insane thing to do.
The Exorcist runs like 2 hours or
204, I think. that is the longest movie that we're playing.
Yeah.
Out of all the horror movies. I mean, your Evil Dead's are running at 81, 82 minutes, right? Poltergeist was around the same length, I think, as The Exorcist. I think it's
a little shorter.
I think it's just under two.
Or maybe it's just under two.
Yeah, I think it's an hour 50.
Obviously, Reanimator, you know, it's, you know, 85 minutes or 86 minutes. Both Carrie and Suspiria, you know,
hour 30, hour 40.
So I'm just going through the schedule, but, like, you can see, like, none of these movies are 2.5 hours long.
Right.
Like, that's a crazy. So that's why, like, I know I sound like a broken record, but, like, Midsommar at 2 hours, like a director's cut at 3 hours. Like, I
still like that movie.
Me too.
I'm not saying I don't.
The director's cut's better.
It is better.
Agreed. It is better. It's 3 hours, yeah. but I'll sit there for it.
That movie is significantly better if it's an hour shorter. It is. It just is, because you can tell a better, you should be able to tell a more succinct, better story in that genre. Under 3 hours. Sorry. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Hey,
that's just the way it is.
We can agree to disagree on that one.
Hey, One Battle is 240. That movie, like, sears by. It's like you don't even know what you're watching, and then all of a sudden it's over. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like you're watching a movie at 2 hours, 40 minutes.
It sounds like you don't like cinema. And you just
I just referenced cinema right now. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Brutalist is 3.5 hours long with intermission. What's the first thing that both you and I said? Oh, man, this is paced unbelievably.
Yeah.
Right? So, but that's not a slasher movie. You're going to sit there. You're not ever going to watch it. You're going to sit there and watch Terrifier 2. Do you know how long?
I've seen Terrifier 2.
Do you know how long that movie is?
Yeah, it's like 240.
Yeah, no, it's like 218.
Is it 218?
Yeah.
That movie feels like it's 240.
Well, it does.
That's his point.
So you're telling me that a slasher movie, like a gore movie, is 2 hours and 18 minutes? I'm out, dude.
I'm not saying that in general. I'm personally just defending Midsommar. I am defending Midsommar, which is not a slasher film.
No, I know. I know. It's also not really a horror film, but that's maybe a different...
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. Okay,
listen,
what I want to get into...
if all I'm saying is, it does not even have to do with slasher films, but, like, dude, you got to come in hot at that 90 minutes.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Especially when you're programming three movies back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
One thing that you have not mentioned...
Yes.
Is that there is a mystery?
There is a mystery show.
A mystery show. At midnight on Halloween.
There is,
which we can't obviously talk about the movie, but
no.
But still, a very cool concept.
I don't know if anyone's going to come. They should.
They should, because it's a great concept in and of itself.
And it's a $10 ticket, like for everybody.
What did Rain call it? A Halloween treat.
A Halloween treat. It is a Halloween treat.
Forget the tricks.
Yeah. So
just come
so
for the treats.
The House of 1,000 Corpses thing was, I thought, speaking of runtime, was this right? And this leads into the Midnight Mystery Show. So with House of 1,000 Corpses, if it starts at 10 o'clock, probably 10:10, right? That movie will end at like 11:40. Well, that audience is probably the same audience that wants to hit a bar at some point on Halloween, right?
Right.
And guess what you can do for 2 hours and 20 minutes once you're done that movie? You can hit two bars if you want. But maybe even hit three if you're really cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the idea there, is like still have it early enough that people can get out and go out to a party or hit, you know, a house party maybe and show up at 11:30 or 11:45 and still get there and still be able to, have like a Halloween party after. Then you have the Midnight Mystery Show, which is going to hopefully tickle a few people the right way.
It's fun. It's fun.
Like, I don't know. Like I said, we do try a few things, you know, and that was one. This is one of them. Like, is this something, you know, if it does numbers, we'll make it a thing. We'll just do we'll do a Midnight Mystery Show every Halloween. If five people come, guess what's not going to be on the schedule?
That's the thing.
And unfortunately, it's hard because sometimes we talk about this a lot. Like, it's like, okay, what was this? Was it worth doing? Can we build on this? Or was that like the test and that we're never going to do it again, right? And sometimes that's just the way it is. It's like, you know, we tried a couple of midnight, just straight up midnight shows last year. Mixed results. Nothing really hit that hard. I was a little worried, even if it was Rocky Horror, that to put something at midnight.
Did two this year.
You can see the strategy change. Yeah. One of them was... Okay, a 50th anniversary traditional midnight, you know, and that's how we're going to market that. And so far, it's selling very well and will be very busy. So make sure you get your tickets for that show.
Get them early.
Yeah, it's going to be very busy. So that's already a success. And then the other thing was, well, what if we did something that was a midnight show, but you know we hadn't done a mystery show before? A lot of indie theaters use this tactic, and it's really cool. I think as long as you know. But then on the behind the curtain side of things, like on our side, it's like, well, we better pick a good effing movie. Yeah.
That's what
like,
I was gonna say. Yeah. Because the last thing you want is you to say the movie, and then everyone's like, oh no, and they get up and walk away. Exactly. Yeah, but like. I know I'm obviously not going to say it. I do know what the surprise is, and I think it's a well chosen movie.
I think so too.
I think it's a good
choice. I think you guys did a really good job.
It's one that I've been kicking around. Then when Rain came on, we kicked it around. We kicked it around this year. This particular movie, we kicked it around this year even with like the three of us did, and we just never. It just never really like
never.
It was like
never hit the right.
It's just like the right time. Yeah. It was like we were like all three stoked on the movie, but then couldn't really find a good spot that felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was it. It was
I think it's the perfect spot for it, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. One thing I would like to mention though that has not been brought up.
Yeah.
Is that somewhere along the lines of these, along the way of these three movies, I believe it's right before Halloween starts.
It is right before Halloween starts.
When I say that, I want to clarify Halloween the movie.
Halloween the
movie.
Before
it starts at 8 p.m. on Halloween, October 31st.
Yes.
Highland Cinema will be hosting a good old-fashioned costume contest.
Costume contest.
That will be judged.
Yeah. By you?
By me.
And who else?
And by he who should not be named.
Yeah.
Former member of Outside the Frame.
Not allowed to say his name.
Okay. Yeah. So
legally we can't say
exactly. So it will be hosted by us too.
Yeah.
And
maybe a special guest by then. We don't know. Yeah, maybe we could get a special guest in there.
We could.
Maybe Tim will come down.
Tim, you can be out part of Outside the Frame if you want to judge a costume contest on Halloween.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at the window. No, he's not even there.
Yeah, you made us look.
Yeah, because sometimes he's like milling about back.
Yeah, he's listening in his office. Yeah. So sometimes he's just kind of like, if we mention him by name, he'll pop up. You know, he's like Candyman. So, so that is a fun little thing. Yeah. We will be judging a costume contest.
And there will be prizes.
With prizes, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to that. You guys have a huge slate. We didn't really get to talk too much about Halloween, but like,
I mean, it's
Halloween. It's Halloween. We've talked about it on this show enough
Dalton
times.
Dalton thinks the movie's boring and hates it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are those
I wasn't saying anything because I'm trying to sell the movie, but
he's just trying to make the Highland business.
Yeah,
you know?
Everyone,
I do feel that way, though.
Yeah. Everyone
you
has.
Hate it?
He doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean.
Damn.
Here's the thing, right, is that everyone has their, I mean, I would say another probably big movie for you in the horror genre would be like Texas Chainsaw, right?
Yeah, I love Texas Chainsaw.
Like there's just certain movies, especially if, you know, I wouldn't categorize yourself as like a horror, like diehard or whatever. But there's certain films that just like tickle people the right way, you know, depending on what you're into and what.
It's like
what
Texas
really...
Chainsaw 2.
Yeah,
never. I'm. Will
yeah,
never.
Can't.
I'm morally against that movie.
And
in
we
every
will
way.
Be playing it next year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I love Texas Chainsaw 2. I think it's great.
Wow.
I love it. But that's what the great thing is about the horror genre is that, you know, and is that there's so many different things for different people. And with Halloween, we get this all the time. And I think Dalton, you'll agree, is like, you know, it happened with. What was the big Reanimator? There were so many people that hadn't seen Reanimator.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
You know, at the Highland, like a good, I would say 40 to 50% of the audience hadn't seen the movie.
Mm.
And so that's where I think it's important for something like Halloween is like contextually, like you have to, it's so hard, but like, I mean, it's not just with the horror genre, but with the horror genre, it's so obvious because there's so many like stereotypes and tropes that like are just in the genre, and you just accept how they were there, and they've always been there. And well, no, they had to come from somewhere, and that's what Halloween represents. Is like there wasn't a movie like Halloween exactly. And Halloween is like the one that is like, okay, here is the roadmap.
There's
right?
a time before Halloween
and
then
a time
after.
And there, it's not that, oh, and I know like some people out there, yeah, but what about, you know, Peeping Tom, and what about Psycho, and what about, you know, Texas Chainsaw, and what about all these other yes, of course, those movies are there.
But it doesn't. It's different.
It is different.
It's different, yeah. And it's solidified, like, it solidifies the final girl.
Yes.
It solidifies a bunch of rules in the horror film genre. It solidifies the pace, like, pacing as in, or the structure of the film. I mean, Texas Chainsaw is like, there almost isn't structure. I mean, there is, but like,
it's pretty
so,
loose.
It's loose.
It's very loose. Chaotic. Yeah. And that's, and that's why
that's
that
what makes
movie
it scarier.
So awesome. Yeah. It's way scarier.
Because you're uncomfortable. You don't know.
You have
what's
no idea
going
what's going on.
Whereas
like yeah,
you can dissect Halloween as like, okay, this happens, then yeah, this happens. Oh, and then that's act two and that's act three. And then here's where, you know what I mean? And again, it's like, you know, yes, it literally is the cliche of mass killer with a knife, like trying to kill someone in a closet. Like, I mean, it is the cliche, but
right,
it is where everything came from, right?
Exactly.
So the education part of it, or like the younger audience that hasn't seen that movie before, that's one of the main reasons why, I wouldn't say the reason, but definitely a big reason for us to play something like that, is because it gives people a chance to see it for the first time and be like, oh, okay, I get it. So then that led into this, that
right,
led into this, that led into this. And I mean, there, you can dissect, you know, like whether or not, you know, because where Dalton isn't wrong, in my opinion, with that movie is that the pacing, but you see it even in 2 years later, mm-hmm, with the first Friday the 13th. That movie is paced really oddly too, like in the sense of like all of a sudden there's just someone making coffee for 5 minutes, and you're like, why is this person making coffee for 5 minutes? But it's literally because they don't know. Like, we have literally 11 Freddy movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
See,
or Jason movies,
yeah,
sorry. And so we have all of that. We have 40 years of
knowledge to
of
apply
knowledge
to this. Yeah.
They are like, what is going to happen? It is literally like it is building,
like building
that
up suspense, right?
That's
yeah,
right. But we just look at it, which, like, okay, I mean, geez, we know what's happening. Like, you know, like you could,
yeah,
just you can,
which is like genuinely one of my favorite parts of Halloween.
Yeah,
is because not only is John Carpenter writing and directing it, he's also composing it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that he is in complete,
score is great.
The score is fantastic.
Yeah.
He is in complete control of the tone and the atmosphere he wants to set.
Yeah.
So just from a technical standpoint, I think
I respect the movie very.
No,
of
just,
course, by the way,
I know I was belittling you
but,
a little bit,
but
like,
I'm not going to throw it on like ever.
No,
so.
That's totally fair.
But that's like I said, that's just, that's why, you know, it's one of the important things of why we're trying to show these movies, these classics, is because you can like experience them for the first time on the big screen, like with big sound, and it is a different experience. I know, like, you know, it's, yeah, so the pacing of that movie is interesting, but it's also not that long either. You're not going to sit
sure
there and watch, you know, 2 hours and 40 minute Midsummer. You know what I mean? Movie's over in like 93 minutes. So,
and it's a classic.
You know,
so
yeah,
if you haven't got caught up on it, you can get caught up on it.
Or
if you haven't
seen it on the
big screen,
it's a huge reason to go and see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are running out of time, so I just want to quickly recap the dates and
it,
the times.
Yeah.
This Friday,
yes,
we have Carrie.
Uh-huh.
At 7 o'clock?
15.
7:15?
Yeah.
Back-to-back screening with Suspiria.
I think it's 7:15. Yeah.
We have Suspiria, yeah, right after that.
Yeah.
Next week, we have The Exorcist, followed by the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Exorcist at 9.
Exorcist at 9, Rocky,
yeah,
Horror Picture at midnight.
Yeah.
And then on Halloween, of course, we have the costume contest hosted by Outside the Frame. Then we have Halloween at 8. We have House of 1,000 Corpses at 10:30. 10,
yeah,
thank you. 8 and then 10. And then a mystery
midnight
surprise at midnight.
Yeah.
So we've got a good slate coming up. And again, do not forget to come out to the horror movie trivia night happening at the Holy Diver next Tuesday, a week today. Some of what we talked about will be, it'll be useful.
We dropped a little bit of nuggets,
some hints
here and there. I will say, I just rewatched a movie called Cleopatra.
Mm. Not a horror movie.
Not a horror movie. Why it's relevant is The starting of Halloween at 8 o'clock and the starting of 8 o'clock to midnight is the runtime of Cleopatra. So you could show up at 8 o'clock and see Halloween and then go all the way, actually go all the way to 12:10. I believe it's 4 hours, 10 minutes long. And so
he watched that.
And I watched that. Yeah, I did. So
it's big.
So that's
A grand movie.
I mean, it's something.
It's a grand movie.
It is something.
Just like Midsommar.
There's a couple of good things in that movie.
Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in. You have been listening to Outside the Frame. My name is Elijah.
I'm Dalton.
Yeah, dude.
There we go.
I'm Mike.
And we will see you all next week at Trivia, but also before where we have our...
What are we doing?
Next week we are doing...
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
A new segment called...
Spotlight.
Yeah, the Silver Screen Spotlight on none other than Keanu Reeves.
Keanu.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun episode, so tune in. Thank you so much for tuning into Outside the Frame. We will see you all next week. Take care of yourselves until then.